Good morning. Yeah. A warm welcome to worship at High Street this summer morning. If you're new or visiting, please join us for refreshments and fellowship in the coffee bar after the service. Our service today is led by the worship team, and the reader is Daniel. We thank them all so much for their time, effort, and prayer that goes into these services. The church is the people in it and not the building. And this is an opportunity to explore, learn, and to learn together and from each other. The theme this morning is Love in Action, a challenge of responding to real need. Following the service, someone will be available to pray with you or for you under the stained glass window. It's a blessing that's available to everyone. Thank you to all who have a part in enabling us to worship together this morning, and for all the gifts, both in finance and time, that enable us to continue the worship and work in this church and the wider community. Now, I have a special thank you for everyone who helped with the Drawn to Imperfection exhibition. I know that Jane has already thanked you, but as I was away when it was open to the public, I wanted to add my thanks and to ask you at High Street to continue to pray for everyone who visited. Pray that they will have encountered a God who is personal and there for everyone, and that the seeds planted in that encounter will grow and flourish in the future. A few events at High Street to draw your attention to. Brenda Woods is running some godly play taster sessions this summer. If you enjoy working with children or love telling Bible stories, then why not come and discover more? And come and experience the wondering. See the posters for the dates. Now, after the service on August the 2nd, we'll be having our annual church picnic on the Lees. Bring a chair and a picnic, and let's enjoy spending some social time together. We are really looking forward to welcoming our new minister, Reverend Molly Chichaquindo, and her family in September. I hope my pronunciation gets better. Her welcome service at High Street is confirmed as Tuesday, the 1st of September at 4 p.m. She apologizes for the change in time. It will enable her family and friends who will be traveling some distances to attend this important service at the start of a new chapter in her life and in High Street's life. Her first Sunday morning service will be on the 6th of September and will be followed by a bring and share lunch. Our dear friend Sue Kartner's funeral will be held here at High Street on Tuesday, July the 28th at 1:30. Please pray for her family, Mark, Emma, and Robert, at this sad time. Finally, Davenport Road are holding a grand barbecue, Skittles and Games evening on Saturday the 15th of August from 5 p.m. This will be a fundraiser towards their kitchen improvements. It sounds good fun, and we know High Street has enjoyed a game of Skittles in the past, so let's support our friends there. Let's pray before the service. Loving Heavenly Father, we thank you that you love and care for each and every one of us through the sad and happy times, and that we are privileged to worship you together as your church family. As in all families, we know it's not always smooth sailing, but we are all part of the body of church, each with its important part to play. Help us to listen and value each other. We pray that today we can leave behind our own cares and troubles and feel your presence move among us, to be renewed with the gift of discernment, a willingness to hear your voice, and an eagerness to share your love among each other, our community, and the wider world. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Good morning. It's lovely to see everybody here. So our service today, as you can see and you've heard, is Love in Action, the challenge of responding to real need. And we're going to start with a call to worship. It's from James chapter 2, 14 to 17, and reading from the New Living Translation. What good is it, dear brothers and sisters, if you say that you have faith, but don't show it by your actions? Can that kind of faith save anyone? Suppose you see a brother or sister who has no food or clothing, and you say, goodbye and have a good day, stay warm and eat well, but then you don't give that person any food or clothing. What good does that do? So you see, faith by itself isn't enough. Unless it produces good deeds, it's dead and useless. And we're going to stand and sing hymn number 713, Show Me How to Stand for Justice. And we come to a time of prayers for adoration and confession. Bountiful, generous God, we praise you and thank you for all the everyday things that we can so often take for granted. That we woke this morning to a new day, for fresh running water from our taps, for electricity in our homes, for a cup of tea this morning, for a choice of clothes to wear, for breakfast. Thank you for our senses and the way our lives are enriched by them. Colours, sounds, tastes, fragrances, feelings. We're so sorry for all the things we forget to say thank you for, and for the things we fail to do, for the things we regret saying, for the things we choose to do which aren't kind, for the times we've turned away because we didn't have time. Please forgive us and help us start again. We thank you for Jesus, for his example, his life, death, and resurrection, and for the complete forgiveness we're offered through his name. How can it be? We praise you and thank you, Holy God. Amen. Amen. And now it's the time for the children, if we've got anybody here today? Yes, to go out and have their time away with Sue. And we ask, Father God, that you bless the children that we have here with us today, for Jamari. And we ask that you bless him in his learning about the fruits of the Spirit. And we ask blessing on the children who are not with us, who are on holiday. We pray they have refreshment and blessing from you. In Jesus' name, amen. We're talking today about sanctuary. I wonder, what does sanctuary mean to you? What is sanctuary? Maybe a safe place, a refuge, a shelter, maybe home. And yet for many people, home isn't a safe place at all. That's a hard thought, isn't it? We were wondering about this as we prepared for this service and decided that our definition of sanctuary, first of all, had to include an understanding of vulnerability. And I think it's maybe easier to think of other people needing sanctuary. Asylum seekers, as we heard about 2 weeks ago, or people suffering from addiction, homelessness, poverty, domestic violence, other people. And yet, we are all vulnerable at times. A fall can make us vulnerable. Illness makes us vulnerable. Stress makes us vulnerable. Fear makes us vulnerable. Loneliness. Grief. Dementia. They all make us very vulnerable. And no one likes to feel vulnerable. It's a lonely, isolating place. So, we'd like to ask a couple of questions. I wonder if you can think of a time when you felt particularly vulnerable. Might you be able to share that with a neighbour? Here and now, I'm talking about. And that in itself actually makes us vulnerable, doesn't it? Vulnerability isn't a safe place. So it's often hidden. We hide so much from other people. So, if you feel able, do turn to your neighbour and share a time when you have felt vulnerable and in need of sanctuary. And if that feels too hard, just listen to somebody else talking, because listening is very powerful. So that's our first question. With some time to turn to your neighbour. Can you think of a time when you have felt vulnerable and in need of sanctuary? I think probably you could go on talking for a long time. It's quite interesting. I'm glad you've been able to share a few things. The next question that we're going to ask you is more practical. Love in action, the challenge of responding to real need. So the question is, in what practical ways do you think you could help a vulnerable person? Remembering that we're all vulnerable. So it could be your neighbour, it could be family, it could be a stranger, anybody. In what practical ways do you think you could help a vulnerable person? And Val is ready with the pop mic to come round. We're going to stand and we're going to sing a very relevant hymn here, Let Love Be Real. And it's hymn number 615. Stand if you're able, please.
And now we're going to have our gospel reading, and Daniel's going to read for us.
Our scripture reading this morning is from the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 10, beginning from verses 25 to 37. The parable of the Good Samaritan. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What is written in the law?" he replied. "How do you read it?" He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself." "You have answered correctly," Jesus replied. "Do this and you will live." But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" In reply, Jesus said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. When he was attacked by robbers, they stripped him of all his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. And then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day, he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. "Look after him," he said, "and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have." Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of all robbers? The expert in the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise." May the Lord add his blessings to the reading of his holy word.
I know we've been talking about sanctuary for quite a long time now. We've been exploring this concept for about a year. And I think we're at the point now where, as a church, we need to mark some of the work that we do, for example, with the community meal and with our hospitality in the coffee bar. So this last week, Church Council gave permission for us to apply to be a church of sanctuary. And we want to keep on building on that concept of supporting and helping vulnerable people. And we're not just talking about asylum seekers, as we have been exploring this morning and talking about this morning. But obviously, asylum seekers are pivotal to some of the work that was started in this church, such as the community meal. So I'm going to invite 2 visitors, Emma and Eden, to come up to talk a little bit about what they do, how we could help in a practical way, one aspect of offering sanctuary. Okay.
Thank you very much for welcoming us here and making us part of your service. We've got to begin with a short film, which will give you a little bit more information, hopefully, about the work of sanctuary hosting, which is now a part of Asylum Welcome.
Sorry, I leave my country because of the war and the system of the country. Police shooting people attack, police attack everywhere, and from that everything in the system is broken.
So our first guests were 2 young girls from sub-Saharan Africa. They came here in just the clothes they stood up in. It was late October, they were wearing flip-flops.
We don't have a choice, so just only must escape. And we run away. If I like to find people they are thinking for their life. They love the life they are living. Not they are fighting, not they are thinking how to destroy, how the people they thinking how to change for better people, they change thinking for the another generation, for good future.
It's not by chance that the name of the organisation is Asylum Welcome, and I think that notion of welcome is really important and runs through what we do. It's an organisation of staff, but also a very large number of volunteers who have come together to provide compassionate and professional support to refugees and asylum seekers who are among the most vulnerable people in Oxfordshire communities.
We're going to have a new challenge this winter and a bigger challenge than we've had before. Previously, we fought hard for the process to speed up. People were in asylum accommodation for years, and that was very difficult for them. But now we've almost got the opposite problem, where people arrive in the UK and just after a matter of weeks, they have gone through the system, they're out on the street, they don't know where they are, they don't know the UK, they don't know Oxford, and we're having to say to people, we've done what we can for you, here's a sleeping bag, and kind of good luck on the street.
I'm Shir Hussain, and I'm from Afghanistan, and so when I received my decision from Home Office, so I had only 28 days to leave the hotel, so I didn't have accommodations. Asylum Welcome helped me, and they moved me to Linda and Ken's house, and I was there about more than 2 weeks. I lived with them, with Ken, Linda and Ken.
We've really enjoyed talking to the people that have been our guests. We've learned a lot about sometimes the country that they've been living in, but also how resourceful people are and how keen people are to improve their life and make things better and get moving.
Sanctuary hosting has really changed the way that I think about community and welcome. It's really special to be able to open your home and open your heart to a complete stranger. There are so few people who would be willing or able to do that. And it's really changed my thinking about how generous and kind people can be. If anyone is interested in hosting or learning more about hosting, please be in contact with us at hosting@asylum-welcome.org. If you don't have a spare room to support Sanctuary Hosting directly, please consider making a financial donation to Asylum Welcome, because every pound that we receive this year is going to be doubled thanks to our match funding partners.
Now, yes, I'm continuing my college. I have to finish my electrician degree. I wish one day I become engineer. Really, I'm happy, because from the beginning, I am sure that I am not alone. There is people supporting me and standing with me. And thank you for Asylum Welcome.
Oh, that's kind. I think I'm okay.
The issues that make people flee their country are not going away. They're getting even stronger. Wars aren't stopping. Climate change isn't stopping. And there are going to be more people seeking asylum, seeking help, fleeing from violence. And I think, as our ancestors have done before us in the Second World War, in the First War, we have always taken refugees. And I think it's incumbent upon us to continue their legacy. I think we should, ordinary people, should show that we want to be generous and kind to people in difficulty. I think we always have done that in this country, and I think we should continue doing it.
So yes, I'm very struck in the sometimes toxic, difficult discourse around asylum seekers and refugees. So one of the comments that you often see on websites and social media is sort of, why, okay then, if you feel this way, you know, why don't you do it? Why don't you take somebody into your home? And the fact is that there are people doing this in all our communities, including here in Oxfordshire. And it's obviously it's a big ask, but we've been very, very moved by the number of people who've come forward to enable 42,000 nights of safe accommodation to have been provided over the last 10 years to people from over 300 different countries and territories. And to tell you a little bit more about how Sanctuary Hosting started and how it works is my colleague Eden.
Hi, good morning, everyone. Thanks for having us today. And as my colleague Emma, she's not just a colleague. We are the founders, we are co-founders of the Sanctuary Hosting as well in 2015. And with our colleague, Wyan as well, he's not here today. So for me, it's personal. I am from Eritrea. I'm a journalist. And I came to the UK when the war broke between Eritrea and Ethiopia. And I came with one who is 2.5 years old daughter as well in my hand as a single mother. So I end up, after I got my status, because they found out I was a journalist, I was in, my life was in danger, so I got my status straight away, but I end up into the streets of Oxford with my two-year-old daughter. People, they thought I was begging. They tried to give me money, and I never had that kind of experience, and I was really sad. So, but by the, my story not end up like sadness, because by some of the kindness and sanctuary people in Oxford, and my story ended in a good way. So I found a room to rent and I started my life all over again. And I managed to be a journalist again with BBC. I work with BBC. And I raised a national figure skater for the UK, my daughter now. She finished her master's, she's doing a PhD, she's a psychologist. She's a coach as well for ice skating. So this is what personal to me, sanctuary, because of the sanctuary that I got from the people in the UK and the welcoming, and then I start my life all over again. So when we start sanctuary in 2015, there was a big rally and we asked people if they can donate something or if they can help somebody else. And then people kindly, they came to us and then we started the charity. It was a lot of challenge at the beginning, but people, they keep opening their homes and their hearts, and then they welcoming people. So sanctuary is welcoming hope. That's what sanctuary is about. So what we do at sanctuary, I don't want to take your time, but what we do is when we have a lot of like referrals from different places, from police, domestic violence, modern slavery, refugees, asylum seekers, people from the hotel, as they heard from the video, they've been kicked out in 28 days, sometimes in 10 days, in 2 weeks as well. So what we do was we have to bring the application and then we interview people and then we see if they are suitable for our charity. Then after that, we have hosts in Oxford Share, so we ask them, we have this person, are you happy to help? And when people said yes, and we have to do introduction, take them to the home and then introduce them, and they have to be happy, both of them, and then we place them there. So, and then we check on them as well 24 hours a week, and then we have to review the process, how we're going. So some people are emergency, some people are like for months as well, they have. So it's a really big ask, as Emma said, to ask people they never met to just bring to the home. But as I said, we are all the time working along with you. We're gonna give you training, peer support, and we can do all the reviews as well with you. And then we just give as well to the hosts a buddy. So we're looking buddies as well, people that can help guests and hosts. So you have a buddy for host if you like be a host. So the process is vetting people, interviewing, getting references, and then the hostess has to be DBS checked as well. So this is a very big ask, but it can just change somebody else's life as it changes my life. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Eden, and yeah, just to add then, really, that anyone is interested in hearing more about hosting or indeed volunteering, because we have volunteers as well who support our host guest placements, then we'll stay around at the end, so do feel free to come up and ask us questions. We've been privileged to meet many extraordinary people through Sanctuary Hosting. And I just wanted to share one person's story with you, a recent guest called Mariam, who came to us as someone from Afghanistan originally, who ran a women's rights defender and had to flee following the Taliban takeover. And I find it still very upsetting that she was one of those people who was forced to get on board one of those tiny unsafe boats in order to get to the UK, because there was no safe and legal route for her to do that. But she came here, she was put into one of the Home Office contingency hotels, like the one in Whitney, and lived there while her claim was considered, and obviously had to live with the stress of not knowing what would happen next. But then came the good news that her claim had been accepted and she had refugee status, which was a massive relief, but no one had explained to her properly what she had to do next. And actually, the fact that she had 4 weeks to get everything together, 28 days to get everything together and move out of the Home Office accommodation, and would be expected just to find somewhere to live, get a job, you know, start earning or claiming benefits and being able to exist in the world with no preparation, knowing no one, an almost impossible task. And she came to us a day or two before she would have been homeless and was very, very frightened. I think the additional fears involved with being a woman in that situation. But we were fortunately able to link her up with a wonderful host who was incredibly important, you know, gave her that room, gave her that space, and also a proper welcome. And she wasn't there very long. I think it was a few months in her case. But in that time, she was able to resolve her other issues and find somewhere to live. She's now working in education and you know, making a contribution. But she was somebody who was really in need of sanctuary, who would have fallen through the net at that point if it hadn't been for sanctuary hosting. So it does obviously make the most enormous difference, and we're incredibly grateful to all our wonderful hosts and volunteers, and to you all for having us here today to talk to you. Thank you.
So as Emma said, Emma and Eden will be available after the service if you want to talk more with them about practical issues. Okay.
For our prayers of intercession, when I say, Lord, in your mercy, could you respond, hear our prayer. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. So let us pray. Loving God, lover of the poor, the weak, the vulnerable, and the oppressed, we pray for those who feel they have no roots, no identity, no sense of belonging. We pray for those who live as refugees in strange lands, driven from their own homes and country by civil war, oppression, famine, or natural disaster. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for those who come from broken homes, for teenagers who've had to leave their homes and are scarred by the trauma of separation, for those who have been abused, those who feel unloved and unwanted. We pray too for those who are lonely, deprived through age or infirmity of human companionship, or separated from others even when they are with them, through fear, shyness, mistrust, or prejudice. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for families coping with the cruelty of dementia or of illness or waiting for test results or operations for those oppressed by worry, unable to throw off their anxieties, or for those grieving the loss of a loved one. We pray for those who are weighed down by the stresses and strains of daily life, those who long for peace of mind, who crave rest for their souls but cannot find it. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Help us as your church here in Whitney to offer a place of acceptance, welcome, and belonging. And help all those who feel isolated to find you here in this place amongst your family. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And now let us say a responsive version of the Lord's Prayer, which will be on the screens. I will read the white print, and then if you could join me in the yellow. I can pray our, if my faith has room for others and their need. I can pray Father, if I live this relationship in daily life. I can pray in heaven, if my own interests recall that he is Lord. I can pray hallowed be your name, if I'm striving. I can pray your kingdom come, if I am willing to accept God's kingship now. I can pray your will be done, if I do not resent my need for guidance. I can pray on earth as in heaven, if I truly want to serve him here and now. I can pray, give us today our daily bread, if I work honestly and care for my neighbour's need. I can pray, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us, if I will cancel all my grudges and grouses. I can pray, save us from the time of trial, if I don't put myself in places where I'll be tempted. I can pray and deliver us from evil, if I'm willing to fight evil in myself and in my life about me. I can pray for the kingdom, if I am glad to obey the King of creation. I can pray the power and the glory are yours, if I am not seeking my own glory and power. I can pray now and forever, if I avoid the anxieties which destroy my faith and trust. I can pray Amen, if I want this to be my true prayer. So now we're going to join together in our final hymn, number 696, For the Healing of the Nations. Gracious God, send us out into the world with your eyes rather than ours. Help us to see not only the bad but the good, not simply the ugly but the beautiful, not just the worst but the best. Help us to see around us the seeds of your kingdom and to nurture them lovingly. Amen.